Hi there, water polo fans. I'm James Spencer Boyce, and welcome to this episode of the Total Water Polo Podcast. I'm delighted to say we'll be welcoming our first goalkeeper to the Total Water Polo Podcast this week, and I think it's about time, 22 episodes in. Today we welcome Unai Aguirre to the show. He's an astonishing shot stopper, really, but also a truly delightful character, and I think you see that when he plays in the pool, and I think you're going to hear that on today's podcast. So let's take a listen of what's coming up on today's show.
The best part is that responsibility that you have. Okay, I'm the goalie, I'm the last person between the goal and the ball, so that responsibility in my case is like amazing. I love that responsibility. But later, it's the same that if you fail a bad day, everyone had a bad day one time in his life. But in the goalie, it's different, because if you have a bad day, maybe the team lose. So mature as a goalie, you have to accept that you can stop all the balls, because it's impossible. I mean, you can stop everything. And there's once you have learned this, you are going to play much better. I think every player, every person, he has his own way to get on the top. I said that too many times. I'm Unai Aguirre. I'm not Jesús Rayán. I'm not gonna be the next Jesús Rayán. I'm gonna be the next Unai Aguirre, you know? The hardest shot is when you don't see the ball at all. When you don't see the ball going out of his hand, you know? And there are some players that they know this, and they are all the time like, they don't show the ball, signs his shots, you know? And they are the most difficult shots.
That is the wonderful voice of Unai Aguirre, and he's had a magnificent year, really, and he's still so young. He's only 20, so it's fair to say I think we can expect even more, and he's only going to get better and better and better. But for me, he just epitomises passion for the sport, for the game, competition, and I can't think of another goalkeeper who I spend so much time watching. Even if his team's attacking, even if he's at the other end of the pool, he just absorbs your attention. He has this aura about him. He's engrossing. And so I hope you enjoy this episode with an outstanding goalkeeper and a fascinating personality. That's coming up next. But just before we start and get on with this episode, just a quick reminder, you might have seen on our social media channels that we are currently publishing the Total Player of the Year award votes from our expert jurors. But you guys also, the public, also get to vote for who you think the best players were from last season, from 2022. To have your say, just head over to our website, totalwaterpolo.com, vote for your favourite player. Who knows, it might secure them some extra points that might put them higher up the table, and who knows, they might win it. So don't miss out on your opportunity to have your say and secure your favourite players some extra points. But enough of all of that, let's get on with this episode, a really, really fascinating episode with Spanish keeper Unai Aguirre. A really warm welcome to the Total Water Polo Podcast to Unai Aguirre. Welcome, Unai. How are you doing?
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. I'm very good. I'm tired, but it's normal. And I'm happy to be here, excited, and that's it.
Just before we start and talk about you and your career and moving forward maybe and being a goalkeeper, why don't we take a look back on maybe this year? It's been a fantastic year for you. Your reflections on 2022. I know we're not fully through this season, but how do you reflect on 2022?
Yeah, so 2022 has been an amazing year for all of us. I think that on the Champions League, we did a very good season. And unfortunately, we lost against Recco on the quarterfinals, but it was one of the best games in the season. And later in the World Cup, we did an amazing tournament from the beginning, winning like for 18 or 17 goals to Canada. Later, we won against Italy in the preliminary group. And later in the quarterfinals, semifinals, and final, we did amazing, and it was incredible. And also in the split, we did a very good tournament. I think that the Hungarians they did better in the semifinal. They played better than us, and they won. But later we recover and we improve our game against Italy, and I think that we won one of the toughest matches that I've never played. That match was, I spoke with my teammates after the match. They said like, it's been the match, it's been the most difficult match I've never played. They said me like this.
Why was it so difficult, that game?
It was really tough. I mean, the Italians, they play his water polo like it's really tough. I mean, I appreciate that because, I mean, they know how to play. But, I mean, the result also, every minute was like counterattack from them and with a lot of contacts also. But we play with pressure because we had to win that match because it's not the same like win a medal or be fourth, you know. And it was like physically the worst match I've never played.
Okay. Obviously, the highlight for you guys this year, the Spanish national team, I would say, is the World Championships. A perfect tournament, really. Did you guys believe that you could achieve that? You could come to Budapest and you could win the gold? Did you believe deep down that that was possible?
Yeah, so we know that we are one of the best teams in the world for sure, and I think that everyone was waiting like Spain play for the medals in both tournaments in Budapest and in Split, and we did, and we knew the responsibility that we had, but I think that we played it very well and we play with that pressure. It's not difficult. I mean, I am appreciate a lot when that Serbia from Filipovic, Andrea, Dusan Mandic, they played, all that tournaments in the top level, winning the tournaments, because it's not the same playing with pressure that you have to win, than you don't have that pressure. No, you can go to the match and see, okay, I'm going to play with Spain and see what happens. It's not the same. If you are Spain, you have to win all the matches, I think.
Let's talk about you more individually and your kind of career. And do you remember your first experience with water polo? Do you remember how you got into the sport?
Yeah, I started playing water polo when I was really young. I was 6 years. I swam and I played water polo, like two of them. And I played also football. I was football goalie. I was soccer goalie, yeah. My father, he was also soccer goalie. And I started like a goalie because I was soccer goalie, and I think that I had that, I mean, like that talent. No, I think that if for being a goalie, you have to have that talent from reflex. Reflex or something special, because I think that that reflex or reflexes or you can learn, you know. Yeah. I started, and I have to say, I was really good, and at the age of 10, I had to decide to football or water polo, and I decided water polo just for the reason that I was better in water polo.
Yeah. Do you think, you said your dad was a soccer keeper, do you think growing up watching him in goal inspired you to go in goal, or did you enjoy it in your own right?
No, I've never seen my father playing football. I was like, he and his career at 28, so I was like 2 years old, and I don't remember my father playing as a football goalie, but it's true that my father helped me a lot in that moment because he felt that before me, and he can help me in some things, not as a water polo goalie because he don't have any idea of technically or something, but just in the mentally part to be a goalie, because I think that it's similar, no? Every goalie has... It's similar, everything, you know.
And you said when you maybe got to 10 or so that you had to pick, you chose water polo because you were better at that. Was it at that age that you started taking it really seriously, or were you still kind of casually, you know, playing for fun? Or at what age did you realize, actually, I've got a real talent here, I'm going to take this seriously and maybe become a professional or maybe represent my country?
I mean, my dream since I started was be the best goalie in the world. But I think that at some point when I started, like as you said, like being more serious, like okay, this is my sport, I'm gonna bet everything here. It was when they gave me like a scholarship from studies and water polo, the Catalonian Federation. It's like a big center. It's everybody's. Like the best players in Catalonia, they study there and they play water polo there from the national team. And the coach was Svilen Piralkov. He's the second. He's the second coach of the national team right now. He's still doing that with the young guys, with the junior guys. And I think that it was the point, like, okay, if I decide to go there, my life is gonna be full water polo. Like, not full water polo because you study there, but it's not the same. You are going there because you love water polo. You want to be national team player one day. So I had to choose, like, or be in my normal school training one session every day, or going there and train two sessions. And I decide bet for water polo, and I think that I made maybe the best decision of my life going there.
Yeah, it seems to have paid off already, going to the high performance center. When you were studying there and playing, what do you think the biggest lesson for you as a goalkeeper was? What do you think, was it the coaches there? Were there specialist goalkeeper coaches?
They prepare you for being water polo player, you know? And you are training every day with the best players of your age, with one coach like Svilen, that is the second coach of the national team, the assistant coach from David Martin. And what else? I mean, I didn't have like a goalie coach signed. I was going in the national team, like in the first team. It is Antonio Aparicio. He's right now also with me, coaching the goalies of the national team. But I think that everything that I learned before to be with Antonio, I learned watching a lot of videos from goalies. I don't know, Josip Pavic, Victor Nagy, maybe Marco De Lungo. I learned a lot from them because I love water polo, and I'm all the time, even now, like, I'm on all the time watching water polo, watching games, watching goalies, watching what they are doing. No matter who is, and it's not important. I mean, every goalie has something better than you.
You said you were watching keepers. Would you say there was one that was the biggest inspiration to you, maybe on the YouTube when you're watching, or Champions League, or maybe a player that you saw in Barcelona that you really wanted to emulate and they inspired you?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of goalies that they inspire me. Not just, I mean, I spoke with a lot of kids, like, who, when I going to, I don't know, to teach them, or because I like teach young goalies, and I mean, it's one of my hobbies, like going maybe Friday afternoon to Barceloneta and teach the young goalies from 12 years. And when I ask them, like, who's your favorite goalie? Like, not just who's your favorite goalie, who likes you, no? What are you looking to from the goal? Like, what goalie? Mm-hmm. He said, no, Bijak, just Bijak. And they said, yeah, or you. And I said, okay, but I mean, Bijak is good. He's one of the best goalies in the world, but I mean, he has his technique. Maybe you can get something from him, but I mean, watch other goalies. I mean, watch a little bit of the Lungo, of Tesanovic or Vogel, you know? Not just one goalie, because I mean, every goalie has his style, and I think that you have to choose a little bit the best thing of everyone, you know?
So what you're saying is kind of pick and choose the good bits from all the keepers. Yeah. They all have their own styles. And so the question I'd maybe ask to you just before we move on is, how would you describe you? How would you describe Unai Aguirre in 30 years' time? What was his style of goalkeeping?
I'm not like, for example, like goalie like Bijak is all the time jumping. I mean, he's everything apart from his talent is amazing. Like, he's jump a lot. He's going post to post jumping. I can do that because I don't have that abilities, but I have another abilities. So you have to choose what is your ability. You know, you have to work on your ability. I think my ability is like my reflexes. I'm so fast. And I think that my capacity to see the ball and going to the ball is like 0 something, you know? And I work on that, and I based my style on that. I'm a goalie that I'm waiting all the time the shot, you know? And I'm waiting the ball since the ball is not out from the hand of the player, I'm not going to the ball. You know, there's some goalies that they like anticipate the shot. They think, oh, he's gonna shot here, or he's gonna shot to another. I mean, he's gonna pass. No, I'm waiting all the time. I'm waiting the ball, waiting the ball. And when I saw the ball going out, I go, you know. And I think that one thing that I'm good is like I'm waiting the fakes, you know. When a player like, I don't know, Solanke is faking, I'm like calm, waiting the moment to go through the ball, you know. And that's one thing that I worked a lot on that, because I thought that it was my ability, you know, waiting, be patient. I mean, and also one thing that is so important, I think it's more important for the goalies that they are not too tall. Like, I mean, I don't know, like Tempesti or like Bizak, for example, like me or De Lungo, or Tesanovic or Dani Pinedo in his days. Like, we have to work a lot on the slice in the goal, and the positioning is so important. I mean, maybe, for example, Bizak is like 2 meters goalie, and he can save a ball without good positioning. Maybe he's jump and the goal goes to the other side, but he's that good from his legs and from his reflexes that he can save that ball because of his talent, you know? And I think that other goalies like me or maybe Tesanovic, De Lungo, we need that slide previous to the shot, you know?
It's fascinating, and it's really good advice for people listening in, you know, thinking about being a goalkeeper or our goalkeeper. Just a slightly different question. What do you think the best part of your position being a goalkeeper is? And maybe on the other side of that, maybe it's obvious that the worst parts, but what would you say the best thing about your position is as a goalkeeper?
I think that the two answers I'm gonna say, they are both similar, because the best part is that responsibility that you have. Like, okay, I'm the goalie, I'm the last person between the goal and the ball. So that responsibility in my case is like amazing. I love that responsibility. But later it's the same, that if you fail, if you had like a bad day, everyone had a bad day one time in his life, but in the goalie it's different, because if you have a bad day, maybe the team lose, because I think lose the game, because I think the goalie is one of the most important positions in water polo.
I think you've come onto a subject I definitely wanted to talk about. Being a goalkeeper is in any sport really relies so heavily on a positive psychological mindset. If you make a mistake, often it's a goal. If outfield players make a mistake, sometimes it's not a goal. And I guess maybe not so much in water polo, but it still happens. You can maybe go a few minutes, maybe a minute max, without having to do anything, sitting on your own in the back of the pool while your team up are attacking, and you don't have anything to do. And then within 10 seconds, you have to make 2 or 3 split second saves. How do you cope with this, and how do you stay focused so when the time comes, you are ready to take, as in your words, make sure you're responsible and take responsibility from keeping those shots out?
Yeah, you're right. I like to talk a lot about these issues, especially with my goalie friends. Every time that I'm with a goalie, I mean, taking a coffee or something, I'm talking about that, because I think that it's so important. I think that to mature as a goalie, you know, you have to accept that you can stop all the balls, because it's impossible. I mean, you can stop everything. And there's once you have learned this, you are going to play much better, like much better. Because one problem that a lot of goalies, they have, I'm included, because I'm young and I commit out of mistakes, but I'm trying to not do that, is like when they have like a bad day, they try to save every ball. Like, oh, I have to save, I have to touch ball, I have to save one. No. You have to stay calm. I mean, I know that there's at some point in the match that you have to appear. You have to go out there and do your 2-3 save. And no matter if you are doing an excellent match, you are having your best day of your life in the goal, and or you are having a bad day. But there's a some point in the match, I don't know when, but you have to prepare for that moment to save that two balls or one ball maybe. Sometimes you are, it's a match that it's 14-14 and you did the worst match in your life. But that's the last play of the match and you have to save the ball. No matter if you did an amazing match or shit, you know? And you have to be prepared for that moment. And that's mental training. And I think that maybe we can talk about this after, but I mean, it's okay.
No, it's really refreshing to hear you talking about it. And, you know, what you have there talking about, you can't save everything. You know, earlier you said you loved the responsibility. It's a very, without trying to be condescending, it's a very mature mindset that some players go whole careers without gaining that sort of insight. So where do you think you kind of got that from? When did you learn to play beyond your years? You know, you're only 20 and you're sitting here talking like you've had like a 30-year career.
Yeah.
Winning, like, you know, where do you think that kind of, and we will talk about your character in a minute, but like, where do you think that came from?
Yeah, it doesn't came from my character. My character is totally different, but it's true that I speak with a lot of people about that time, about that thing about, like, you can save every ball, you have to be calm on the goal, and they say like, but you are 20 years old, how you can learn that with 20 years old, you know? But I've been playing like I'm six. When I was 16, I've played with. I was playing with people older than me, and I think that some goalies take this when they are more in 25 or 27, and I had lucky and I learned it when I was 18, 19, and I have to learn a lot. Already, I mean, I'm not perfect. But I think that this is one thing that I'm good on this, that I learned this, and I think this was like a break in my water polo career when I started thinking like that, like, okay, I'm the goalie, and I'm gonna receive goals. I mean, it's impossible. I started to improve my positioning in the goal. I started to know where the shot is gonna come, I start to learn more things like, okay, this everything is making sense, you know? But the most important thing is you have to understand that you can't save everyone.
Okay, so this is fascinating, and I think the listeners are gonna love this next part, because you have talked here very maturely, you've said stay calm. And yet anyone that's ever seen you in the pool, calm isn't exactly the first word that comes to mind when we watch you play. You know, people, when they think of you, they think of a world-class keeper, of course, but the passion, the joy, kind of the one-man show, like just watching you save and, you know, cheer to your bench, it's not exactly calm. And I've got a quote here from an article that was written about you, and you gave the following quote. You said, "My teammates have told me that that when you shout and you celebrate after saves, it gives them confidence, and it can help them come out in the game and grow in the game." Can you explain what you mean by this? Because it's, you know, we've seen goalkeepers down the years. You know, Victor Nagy was a very articulate goalkeeper. He was very like theatrical. And now you're kind of taking on that mantle. Can you explain what you meant by it helps you and it helps your team?
Yeah, I mean, it's my way of playing. I'm very passionate. I'm a passionate person. I mean, playing like this is my way to releasing the tension and leaving the game. Like, you know, leave the game like, it's the game. I'm having the game. I'm in the game. You know, I'm inside the game. I'm concentrated. I'm in full focus. And I think that it's true that It's weird because everybody thinks like I'm maybe annoying or something like that. But when you play with me, my team, you will say like, oh my god, you know, this guy's like shouting, and they give them like force to go at the counter attack and defend more, and it's why one of the reasons that I do, you know, because just not doing like saying no, you are not scoring me a goal, but just like screaming like come on or something like that, they give them confidence, you know, that I'm there, you know, they can trust on me.
You talk about like a release of kind of tension. Maybe you're not so much fortunate enough to be in a position where you can swim and sprint, yeah, or go and wrestle at center forward or center back. You can't really alleviate tension like that, so maybe in some kind of way that, you know, the celebrations and the screams and maybe that is your kind of way of kind of getting rid of all the tension that's built up, because it's a lonely position, really, goalkeeper. You know, you're at the other end of the pool, you're separated from your teammates, so maybe that's something.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, I'm releasing the tension when I'm doing that, like, okay, because being a goalie is like, this is a position you have to be concentrated, just not 30 seconds of the match that is your defense, no, because when they are attacking, you have to start thinking like, okay, they will come. I mean, I don't know, if we're playing against Reco. Okay, the Fulvio is going there. Okay, he's searching for the counterattack. You are going to have counterattack from the Fulvio. But Thalanki is fresh. He goes from the bench. Okay, he can shot, you know? You are all the time thinking. But, I mean, the players have that moment of transition that they are swimming. And they are not thinking about, like, but the goal is all the time tension, you know? And I have a lot of problems in my shoulders, in my back. Because of that tension, because in the match I'm with tension, you know, all the time. I'm like with that tension, that pressure all the time, and that makes me a lot of injuries in my shoulders and in my back because of that tension, you know.
Really, I mean that's something you don't really think about, as you know, when you watch a game or when we're playing water polo casually, but you know, at such a high level, there is that tension. And have you ever kind of frozen up in a game? Have you ever been playing in a match and you've just like your arms aren't moving as quickly as they normally are? You can't quite jump across it in that way. Has there ever been an extreme example of that in a match, in an important match?
Yeah. I speak a lot with my physical trainer, Willie, from that. He said like, in a match, in an important match, I mean, I'm telling you, like, Champions League match or World Cup match or something like that, for that tension, you have 20% more of ability, you know, of fast, of reflexes, of physically performance, you know, you have 20% more. And, I mean, you can be tired before the match. There's some, for example, in Tbilisi, 2 weeks ago, I slept 4 hours because the jet lag. I slept, there's three more hours than Barcelona there. And I slept like shit, 4 hours. But I get up and it was match day. And you did everything good. And you did everything like your routine before the match and everything. And when I arrived to the match, I was okay. And I slept 4 hours. It's because of that tension. I'm 100% sure that if I didn't play that much and it was like a training, I will be fucked. I couldn't save any ball. But it was a match and I had that 20% more,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Just before we go to part two with some questions that people have sent in, what advice would you give? Maybe you haven't found it yourself, but what advice would you give to young keepers who get those nerves, get that tension, and maybe they're not as assertive, they don't scream, or they can't... What mechanisms would you give them to deal with coping with pressure before or during a game?
Yeah, good question. I'm gonna clarify this of the tension. Okay, the tension is not the same as being nervous.
Yeah.
It's two different things. that tension is the tension of your brain thinking all the time in the match, like, okay, the ball is there, he's gonna go there, he's gonna shot, he wants to shot, positioning, everything. And later there are the nerves, you know, the nerves. I think as a goalie, you have to try to keep this out of your mind, like be nervous, because in the trainings you are not nervous normally, you know. And I think that you don't train with being nervous in normally. Usually you don't train being nervous. And later, if you are not training with nerves, later in the match, if you have, you are not like, I don't know, you are not with that feeling. You don't know how to play with nerves, you know? And I try to, if one advice man or I don't know, it can help the young goalies, is like, play enjoying the game, you know? Play funny, you know? Play happy and enjoy the game and be funny, you know?
Yeah.
And that's it. I can't tell them anymore.
And do you enjoy every game that you play?
I try to. I'm trying. You know, it's difficult because there are some matches that it's not like the best match I'm going to play, you know? Yeah, I mean, it's impossible. You know, it's not the same playing like semi-final of World Cup or quarter-final of European Championship or final eight semi-final, because it's easier enjoy that matches because you are playing like one of the best matches that you can play. But later there are some matches, for example, Champions League matches that you have to win because you have that pressure to win. And it's more difficult to enjoy that matches, but you have to do it.
Fantastic stuff, Unai. Look, we're going to take a short break and then we're going to come back for part two, where you're going to answer some questions from social media. Okay, welcome back to part two of the Total Water Polo podcast. We're here with Unai Oghieri. And Unai, we've got a fair few questions from Instagram and Facebook. But before we deal with those, we always ask all of our guests to give their dream team, their total seven players. So seven players, one in each position, your dream team, past or present players, and you can pick them however you like.
Yeah. Okay, I've been not thinking about this, but it's a good question. I think in my home, but I will say, first of all, goalie. I will explain like a little bit why.
Of course.
I think that in the regular season, the best goalie was Soma Vogel for me.
Okay.
I think that he did an amazing season in Ferencváros. He was the best goalie in the Champions League by far, I think, by far. But later, it's true that we judge from the titles. And I think what Bijak did in a split was one of the best performances that I've never seen in a goalie. I mean, it's Bijak in split, Josip Pavic in London. I don't know.
So you're going to pick players based on last season. That's fine. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Bijak, unbelievable.
Yeah, Bijak.
In split.
Yeah.
But obviously Olympiakos didn't make it to the final eight.
Yeah,
it's kind of
true,
a debate.
It's
a debate at the moment we're doing with total player.
It's, true.
It's like, do we pick him? Do we not? But fine. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'm going to say Bijak. Even he didn't play in World Champs. He played Popovic.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, that performance... I will be like stupid if I don't put Bijak, because that performance was incredible. I think that the performance was incredible, but the match against Italy in the semi-final was amazing, and I think it was his top performance in the European Championship.
Yeah,
this match and the preliminary group against the Greeks. Yeah.
Okay, so that's your keeper.
Yeah. Later on the wins, I will go with I will go with Muna in one and two, but I will put Muna on two, on position two. I think in USA is different. I think USA is two is where Alvaro is playing, or Felipe.
But I
think in Europe, two is the position from like
the right side,
left-hander.
Right side. Okay.
So I'm gonna put Gergo Zalanki in one.
Yeah.
Alberto Munariz in two.
Yeah.
In the other side, I'm gonna put Alvaro Felipe
supporting Spain,
and I'm gonna. Yeah, I mean, Felipe is the best player in the world. And Alvaro is maybe the best scorer that there is in the moment. Like, he's in his top right now. He's incredible. And for me, they did incredible season. And I think center forward, I'm going to go with Josip Bilić. I think that there's no one better than him. He's every fucking play in 2 meters. Like, you can move him from 2 meters. And also, Roger Taul is incredible, but Josip Bilić is amazing. He's all the time in 2 meters. No matter what happens, no matter what match, he's all the time there. And center and defender, I'm going to go with Jancic, yeah. He did a good season with Ferencváros. They didn't play well, Hungary, at all in the World Championship. But in the Europeans, he was amazing. I mean, he's a player that hopefully one day I can play with him, because I think, like, it's like second goalie, you know? You have other goalie in the water. Like, maybe it's like Presciutti or Busti, you know? You have, and they just like saving with two hands, but they only do one, yeah, with one. Jancic is incredible. He's swimming all the time. He's fighting with everybody. He gets that goal, that counterattack, and I'm gonna go with that seven. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty awesome seven. Yeah, it's a good one. And speaking of someone that you've just mentioned there, Felipe Peroni, obviously a former guest on our podcast, he sent in some questions for you. How many times do you rewatch your games?
Oh, good question, Felipe. No, seven.
Each game, seven or six times.
Yeah, six, seven, yeah. I watch all the time, like 2 times on Spanish TV, maybe another 2 times on European Aquatics channel, and later in YouTube another 1 or 2 times.
What are you specifically looking out for? I guess obviously the obvious answer is, you know, what you're doing, your positioning and things like this, but are you looking at the tactics of other teams as well? Are you looking at other goalkeepers, or is it a bit of everything?
I'm talking about my games.
Yes, yeah. But like, yeah, when you watch... Later,
I will explain you how I prepare the games. But yeah, talking about my games, yeah, first of all, I want to watch the goals, just the goals. And maybe the second time, the saves. And maybe the first time, the other times, I tried to... I said 6-7s, but I mean, maybe with depending on the match. But if I had to say a lot of things, I maybe can... because I'm in my home and I was like remembering the match, and oof, I think that here I did bad technique. I will check, and I check. It's not like the 7 times a complete match, you know, full match. But this, I'm trying to see every detail, like every technical detail, if I did right or not, you know, how can I improve, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if you do watch it 7 or 6 times each of your games, you're a freak. That's all I'm saying. But Felipe has got another question, and it says, when will you get your driver's license? I suggest if you spent as much time practicing for your driving test as you were watching games, maybe you might have it. Is that a fair?
Yeah. But I think I have the exam next week.
Oh, okay. Well, best of luck. We're all We're all wishing you the best of
Thank you.
Best of luck. Okay, here's an interesting question, and I think I've heard you speak about this subject before, but Nico Fair Water Polo on Instagram says, what can you say about the comparison with Jesus Roland? People often compare you. It's quite easy to compare, I think, for some people. What's your outlook on it all?
I think every player, every person, he has his own way to get on the top. And I think I like, obviously, Jesus is one of the best goalies in the water polo history. But I said that too many times. I'm Unai Aguirre. I'm not Jesús Royán. I'm not going to be the next Jesús Royán. I'm going to be the next Unai Aguirre, you know? And it's like, I like, because, I mean, he's an amazing goalie. Maybe they are comparing because they think that I'm similar because, I don't know. But I think the most important thing, you have to think for your own, you know, for yourself, not try to compare with other guys, with other goalie, because it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I like that. Good answer. Okay, next question from another teammate, a new teammate, Dusan Makovic. How are your martial arts skills?
My?
Martial arts skills. Martial arts.
Ooh.
What martial arts do you do?
Okay, I like martial arts, yeah. I like a lot. CU, MMA and UFC.
Yeah.
And I like a lot. It's like a hobby, you know?
Yeah. Perone does like a Brazilian martial arts stuff. Have you ever... You ever like thought about fighting him or anything?
No, because I like more like kickboxing, you know.
Okay.
More like, I don't practice. I mean, I like to see it.
Right.
No, it's because Dole is asking me because I'm all the time watching videos from kickboxing but Felipe is like I think he was professional former from jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, one guy that knows kickboxing and one guy that knows jiu-jitsu. The guys who know kickboxing, he can do anything with the jiu-jitsu guy. I mean, jiu-jitsu will take him, will go to the floor, and it's over. The fight is over.
Okay. You've put a great thought in our head of you two fighting, but I don't think we'll get to see it, unfortunately.
No.
Okay, let's move on to these questions. And they're all basically, they're fairly similar, they're fairly linked. Vanya Stoyanovov on Instagram, so they're basically asking for advice. What skills to do for improving your goalkeeping skills? Luke is Swaggy, great name on Instagram. What's the hardest drill you do in training? My guy on water polo, what's a typical goalkeeper training? And then Ali on Instagram, tips to save fast shots. So, I mean, they're kind of linked, but not, you know, not necessarily definitely, but what advice would you give generally for kids that are training to be keepers?
Yeah, first of all, and the most important thing, to improve your reflexes and to improve your capacity to go faster is the weights in the gym. You know, the weights, leg weights, I mean, press bench, squat, back, everything. And it's the best way to improve your capacity to go faster to the shots. And that's it's very clear. Later in the world, you have to work also on your legs. But depending of the moment of the season, maybe sometimes you can do more legs with med balls. You can put a little bit more in that because you don't have... matches in the next weeks, but when I have a match, I try to do more explosive exercise and more jump exercise, like reaction exercise, more slicing, but just a short time and long rest and fast, you know, fastest as you can.
Okay, that's good. Benoit Guerrand on Instagram asks, how do you manage to always be well positioned and cover for your defense's mistakes, short post, like for example. Now, would you say you have a good defense in front of you for Barceloneta and the Spanish national team, or the question maybe suggests that you have to cover for your poor positioning of your defenders. Would you say that you have a good solid defense in front of you?
Yeah, the best one in the world. The best defense. I have the best defense in the world for sure, and I have one of the best defenders of the world in my team is Larumbe. He helps me a lot. I mean, I can be calm with him because I know what he's gonna do, and also it's a little bit like know all the players. I know when maybe Alvaro he's searching for the counterattack, and I know I have to cover a little bit more in his side. I know when Larumbe wants to his player take the shot and where. I know when Busti is gonna put the arm and or Martin. And also, it helps me a lot to this. It helped me a lot to be good in the positioning. And also, I have good positioning because, as I said before, when you are calm in the goal and you know where is your side and where do you have to save, it's better for your positioning. You know, when you try to save every ball is when you are when you have bad positioning.
Mm. And what you're talking about there, something that helps you is kind of the familiarity with your teammates. Would you say that players that goalkeepers that play with a lot of their national teammates at their clubs, so Barcelona have a lot of the Spanish players there, a lot of the Greeks are at Olympiacos. Do you think that gives the goalkeepers an advantage?
I think that I don't think so. Because I think that everybody has a time to adapt for his new team. But I think that I play with advantage because I've been playing with that guys 4 years. And I was with them on the bench. I was with them in the goal. So I know them very well. They are also one point that is very important. They are all my friends. I mean, and when you see some of your friends doing a fail or committing a fail, it's one thing in your brain that is thinking like, okay, I have to save him because he's my friend, you know? I have to take his back. And sometimes they do the same for me. And maybe if he's not your friend, it's like, okay, if he shots to the close corner and it's goal, okay, it's not my fault, perfect. But when he's your friend, you don't want to... You don't want to see your friends failing, you know?
Of course. That's really nicely put. It's personal. It's personal.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on then. And keeping on the theme of kind of goalkeeper-related questions, Kai on Instagram asks, what is the hardest shot for a goalkeeper to block? In your opinion, what's the most difficult shot for you to save?
Good question. The hardest shot is when you don't see the ball at all. When you don't see the ball like going out of his hand, you know? And there are some players that they know this and they are all the time like they don't show the ball since he shots, you know? And they are the most difficult shots. For me, for example, that I'm a goalie that I'm waiting all the time to see the ball throwing, like to see the ball going out of his hand. For me, it's the most difficult shots. And also, the shots in front, you know, on the top of my head, I don't know, overhead shot is like, yeah, no, overhead shots. Overhead shots are also very difficult to save, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Philip Balog on Instagram asks, the question that he asks is how to save a penalty shot. Bit simplistic, but let's talk about penalties. Okay. Do you like penalties? How do you kind of deal with penalties in your head? Do you like to play mind tricks with the people that you're playing against? Do you, some keepers pick a side, they kind of move to the right and give like a bit of an open goal. What would you say your process is for when you're facing a shot from 5 meters?
Yeah, first of all, I have to say that I have to improve a lot on the penalties because it's I think it's not my best point. It's not my best ability. But I did that. I tried to to disconcentrate the players, but when I did that, always they scored me the goal, and I was like trying to give me like an explanation for that, and it was easy. I mean, when I did that, I also disconcentrate myself, you know, and I lose my focus on the penalty. But I think that I have to improve a lot on the penalties, because I think is one thing is a lot is more, is too important right now with that water polo rules, and I have to improve a lot on that ability. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. A question here. Did you ever want to play outfield? Do you ever have the urge to play outfield? And obviously with the new rules, the opportunity might be there every now and then to play outfield. But do you ever feel like being in goal isn't the best position?
No. I mean, it's impossible. I mean, I'm full anaerobic, you know? There's some players that they are aerobics. They can swim like 20 minutes without being tired, but I do one swim and I'm dead. I mean, I don't know. It's my genetics, but I'm full anaerobic.
Fine.
Full, like.
Of course.
I can never. And I'm also, when I'm going out, like, through the goal, like, I'm going to the attack. Like, just not, I mean, imagine a situation, no? We defend the last play of the match, and I have to go to attack because we are losing by one. When I'm going like to the attack, like I'm swimming, in the goal you see everything clear. When you are there and you see one player here, one in front of you, you think you know that one is behind you. I mean, you are lost. Like you don't know how to do, and you don't know where you have to go. Where is the ball? You don't know anything, and I think it's so difficult. Like.
Well, one thing we always ask our guests at the end of the podcast is to talk about things they do outside of water polo to relax. And I know for you, it might be watching seven or eight times over a game of water polo. But what other things? We were talking before we came on about your football shirts and things like this. So what other interests do you have?
Yeah, good question. I love the clothing, you know, everything that is like, I mean, one Wednesday afternoon, I don't have nothing, I don't have training, I go to the shopping center just to see or buy something, because I love dressing and I love, the clothes and everything in that way. And also I like play video games, but nowadays I don't play too much. I was playing more a few years ago, but I also study, watching series, normal guy. I mean, I'm a normal guy. When I can, I going out. When I don't have matches the next week, I go out and I have fun with my friends, and that's it.
So what you're saying is, if you weren't a professional water polo player, you'd be a fashion guru, or you know, like a artistic designer or something.
No. I don't like to work on fashion, on the world of fashion. But I like dress. I mean, I have a lot of clothes, and I like spending time like what I'm going to put today on. So that's it.
Look, Unai, thank you so much for joining us today. You've been a great sport. Best of luck for the rest of the season. I'm sure we'll catch up soon.
Yeah, thank you to you.
That one was a lot of fun, and goalkeepers are often perceived to be crazy. And with the greatest respect to Unai, I think he is a little bit crazy, but absolutely in the right kind of way. He's obsessed with water polo, and you can hear that. He loves it and goes over his games five or six times. He's watching games, all sorts. And just after we stopped recording, we spoke again about water polo. And, you know, I kind of wanted to press record again, but unfortunately we didn't get the opportunity. But thank you so much for Unai, a great speaker, a great player. And he's going to be a superstar, even more than he already is going forward. But thank you very much for joining us. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. Just a few bits of admin before we go. Again, a reminder about the Total Player Award. You can go and vote for your best player of 2022. Go over to our website, click on your favorite player. It might secure them vital points in the race to be the Total Player of the Year 2022. As usual, you're entitled to 10% off at werewaterpolo.com using our discount code podcast10. Put that in through the checkout. You get 10% off, and there are some absolutely gorgeous Yug trunks on the site at the moment. They're beautiful. I got my pair. They're lovely. Go and check it out. Claim 10% off. And I'd just like to finish with a bit of a thank you to everyone. Everyone's been getting their Spotify unwrapped, and we got ours, and I was really amazed and overwhelmed and really, really honored to see how many people have tuned into this show and listened to it, liked it, shared it, and we appreciate it so much. And we just hope that you love all the shows and all the podcasts with these amazing guests. And if you can like us, share us, subscribe, wherever you get the podcast, that's amazing. So thank you very much for listening to this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. It might be the last one of the year. We'll have to check. We might have one other special guest lined up. But if not, we'll see you next year. Thank you very much for listening. Take care, and we'll see you again soon. Bye-bye.